God is going to cause you to change, and he's going to cause you to take your promised land, but you got to quit looking for a get-rich-quick scheme. Come on, somebody. God is thinking peace of you and not evil. That when he thinks about your life, he's not mad at you. The strongest people are people that understand togetherness. All throughout your life, you're on this journey to go from me to we.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church.
Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
You know, sometimes we don't know how to go to church. That might sound weird. Like, what do you mean? You know, you get up in the morning, we shower, we put clothes on, and we come to church. Well, there's more to this thing than that. And sometimes we can get so comfortable with things that we think we know, you know, something, and we can miss something altogether. And so we've been in a series called Nothing is Impossible. But see, church folks know that word series, and they just think it's a lesson title. It's what we're studying this week, blah, blah, blah. But this is so much more than that. You've got to understand that when you go to a church that believes in a prophetic flow and believes in the now word of God, you're getting a word that is a prophetic word that has power in it. And it's something to where if you really grab hold of it, that word will work in your life as a battering ram to help you overcome whatever it is you're facing. And that's what I really believe this word is here. Now, let me read to you Matthew chapter 19, 25 through 26. It says this, "And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Well, then who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and he said to them, "With men, this is impossible. But with God, come on now, all things are possible." How many believe all things are possible? I want to hammer this thought into your head. I want to help you get a grip of this. I want this tattooed on your heart, because when you get a mindset where nothing is impossible, you will begin to do great things and see great exploits. And let's open the word with prayer. Father, we just thank you right now for this opportunity that we have to gather around your presence, to gather around your word, so that we can see an anointing poured out on this church, on these folks, on these families, to do impossible things. What they say is impossible is possible with you. And Father, we thank you for an anointing to preach and pull down strongholds. Open our eyes in the spirit so we may see what you see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So Jesus releases this incredible statement. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And how many of you know that all means all? Come on, tell your neighbor, all means all. It says all things are possible. Now, in the context of what he's talking about here, he begins, they're talking about what, you know, the kingdom of God. And see, people like to focus on this thing here that, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they say, oh, rich people can't go to heaven. Listen, you don't get it. We know here that the kingdom of God is simply God's way of doing things. The kingdom of God is amongst us. See, you're thinking it's talking about going to heaven. That's why you need to read his word. That's why you need to study his word. That's not what it's talking about there. He's trying to say here that it's hard for rich people to grasp how God does things, because God doesn't do things like we do in the earth. And somebody that has obtained riches many times obtains those riches a different way than the kingdom does it. So it's not saying there that God doesn't allow rich people into heaven. It says that it's harder for a rich person to grasp the ways of God. Are you with me today? And in case you didn't know it, if you live in the United States of America, you're a rich person. Oh, come on, somebody. I know you're complaining about being broke, poor, but you don't know broken, poor. Come with me to the Philippines. Go with Eddie and see where he's going to live for a year. And then you'll know how blessed and rich you are. Understand that America is in the top 5% of the richest in the world. Go visit families in other countries. Go to different places and see what their level of poverty is when the daily wage is 10 cents a day, 50 cents a day. And you're over here grumbling about $11 an hour. Oh, come on, y'all ain't hearing me today. See, so when you read this scripture and it says that it's hard for a rich man to grasp, to enter the kingdom of God, it's talking about you. Yeah, get off that high horse right now, because we like to read that and go, Donald Trump needs to read this verse. No, if you look at the scope of the world, you are rich. You make more than 80% of the world just because you live in America. Our level of poverty is nothing compared to what people are living like in Mexico, in the Philippines, all throughout South America, all throughout Southeast Asia, Africa, India. And you've got to understand. So I break that down so you could grasp something today. You've got to learn to grasp the kingdom of God, but you can't do it with a mindset that works in the natural realm. Are you tracking with me today? So Jesus saying it's hard for a rich man to grasp how God does things. And then he goes into this. See, even the disciples, this went over their head. They didn't grasp that either. And then they say, well, who can be saved? And then Jesus drops this nugget on us that, but with God, all things are possible. Now, you've got to realize this is a kingdom mindset. This is a mindset that understands that we live in the realm of impossibilities. We live in a realm that is limitless when you live in the realm, here it is, with God. And that is why it makes no sense to play church. And that is why being a Sunday Christian is the wackest thing you can do. It don't make no kind of sense why you would want to look like a Christian, sound like a Christian, but not be one. That's why we've got to make sure that we are taking this thing serious. And that is why we've got to look at 2018 with a mindset that no matter what you're dealing with, no matter how down and out you are, no matter how bad things are for you, things can get better and nothing is impossible. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm facing some things in my life that seem like it's going to be impossible for these things to happen. And I tell you what, you've got to grasp this, because anytime God is calling you to do something, he's going to call you to do stuff that you can't do on your own. Are you with me today? If he's going to call you to do things that you're going to need to lean on him to be able to do. See, what God is interested in is partnership. What God is interested in is promoting the family business. God never wanted robots in the earth. He never wanted people that blindly just followed him. That's why he created free will. Because what he's interested in is perpetuating the family business. So he calls us sons and daughters of God. Which means if we're God's sons and daughters, we are like him. Tell your neighbor, you're just like your daddy. Your heavenly daddy. Amen. Some of y'all said, oh, no, I'm not. You don't know my daddy. No, you are like your heavenly father. You're just like him. You have his DNA. You walk like him. Come on, somebody. You talk like him. It's in you to be like your heavenly father. But you've got to tap into that. You've got to grasp that. You've got to embrace that. So last week, we've been hammering this truth on the inside of you, trying to get all that negative thinking, all that limitation up out of your mind, and trying to get you to see that whatever you're facing, nothing is impossible. Last week I told you, write down three things you need God to do for you in 2018. How many of y'all wrote something down? Then that is assurance that you're going to see it happen. For those of you that didn't, don't get mad at me. You made a choice. And if you didn't, I would encourage you now to take a moment, bust out your phone, get on your iPad, and write down three things right now that you're facing that you need God to move in that seem impossible. Maybe it seems impossible that your husband's going to change. Don't amen me right there. It may seem impossible that your wife is going to change. Don't aim that good. You guys are smart. Amen. It may seem impossible that you get a house. It may seem impossible that you lose the weight this year. But I tell you what, all things are possible to those that believe. Am I getting too real for you today? Let me read to you now Mark chapter 9, 17 through 23. It says this, then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth and he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." And he answered him and he said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and he wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And so he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And look what Jesus says. And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, then all things are possible to him who believes." Come on, how many believe that scripture there? Let me break this down for you, what's happening here. You got this father whose heart is broken because his son is vexed by an evil spirit. His son is being tormented by seizures that are uncontrollable, that come over him. And at many times, the seizures cause him to fall into the water or fall into the fire. And if you've ever been around anybody that has seizures, it's a scary, scary thing. And this man's heart is breaking, crying out to God. He needs answers. And he's gone to the right places. He's gone to the right people, and they haven't been able to cast this thing out or heal his son. And I love the position that he takes with Jesus. He says, "If you can do anything, God, help me." See, this is where a lot of us are at right now. We're at this place. Some of us live at the place of where this father is at right now. Always in a place looking for God to do something. But I love Jesus' response to this man. And if you don't watch it, it could seem insensitive. He's like, "Jesus, if you can do anything, you know, do something, show compassion and do something for me." And Jesus flips it on the man and he says, "Well, if you can believe, if you can believe." See, we're like the father many times. "God, if you can do something, heal me. God, if it's your will, do this." And I hear the Spirit of God saying today, no, you got this twisted. If you can believe, if you take the time to get my word in you, if you take the time to get in my presence, if you act on my word, if you believe, then anything is possible. See, what Jesus is trying to do here is he's trying to take the victim mindset and crush it. He could have easily just healed that person. But you know what he did for this father? He got the father involved in the deliverance that he was seeking. And do you want to know why he did that? He did that so the father would leave a victim mindset. A mindset that says, "I've got no power over what I'm facing. There's nothing I can do. This is just my circumstance. This is just how it is for my family. We are stuck with this. No. Jesus empowered the man to take part in the miracle. And I believe that same invitation is going forth in this place. Will you partner with God to see the impossible done in your life? Because he's waiting for a people. He is waiting. The Bible says that the earth groans, waiting for the sons and daughters of God to rise up. And see, this is what I'm talking about. Because there's people going to church all over the world on a Sunday morning, and they're just saying, God, if it be your will. God, if you would do something to help my family. If I could just get a crumb off of the king's table. See, and that sounds so pious and holy and like it's the right thing. But that's not what Jesus is looking for. As Jesus, as the Spirit of God hovers over the earth, is looking for a voice of faith from a son or daughter that understands who they are and understands the position that God has given them to partner with him to make the impossible possible. My brothers and sisters, will you partner with the Holy Spirit? You've been praying for things for so long, and you've been saying, if it's your will, God, get us a house. God, do this. God, do that. And the Spirit of God is saying, anything is possible. You're asking me for this, but will you believe? And then he goes on to say, because if you can believe, all things are possible. See, what he's saying there is this: I'm ready to do the impossible if you'll partner with me. And this is where many people stop. They stay. I'm so glad, and I'm sure this man was glad, that he didn't stop there. I'm glad that this man chose to believe with Jesus for the deliverance of his son. And we know, as the story goes on, what Jesus did for that young man. But it was not all on Jesus. They had to partner with God's word. Are you tracking with me today? So the last 3 weeks, I've been giving you this word about nothing is impossible. And some of you, yeah, you're taking it, but others of you, you're standing on it, you're walking on it, you're living on it, and that's where you got to get. So we've got to be people that walk on God's word the same way that Jesus walked on the water. Are you tracking with me today? Remember, nothing's impossible. It was impossible for Jesus to walk on water. Has anybody ever tried it? You ain't gonna get too far. What was it that allowed Jesus to walk on the water? What allowed him to do that was that he, when he allowed, it's one thing for Jesus to do it because the Son of God, but then he calls Peter, somebody like you, and me, Peter, think of all the disciples that could have did it. It was Peter, knife-wielding Peter, switchblade Peter. Remember Peter cutting off ears and stuff? Remember Peter? Oh, I'll never deny you, Jesus. Hey, do you know Jesus? Heck no, I don't know that fool. 3 times he did it. Imperfect Peter sees Jesus walking on the water, and he says, Peter, come out here with me. And do you know what Peter did? Here's what you got to catch. What Peter did is he stepped out of the boat walking on the word of Jesus. That's all he had. That's all he had. All he had was an invitation from Jesus' mouth to join him out there. And did you know, as Peter stepped out, he didn't hit that water, he hit the word. And the word kept him afloat. And the word is what he stood on. The word is what he walked on. That thing that came out of Jesus' mouth. And you need to know this, there's a word that you need that will get you through any storm. There's a word that you need, that you got to find, that will get you through any situation. We have got to understand that we have not been called to live by bread alone, but by every word, Jesus said, that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. So whatever you're doing in life, you better have a word. Before we started this church, we had a word. Before I married my wife, I had a word. Before we started having babies, I had a word. I wish somebody would grasp this way of living. It's way better than just being a victim of bad choices. And then God having to bail you out of bad choices you make. What would happen if you put his word first and before you did anything, you got a word from God? I'll tell you what will happen. You'll do impossible things like walking on water. Are you tracking with me today? See, somebody's got to get this. Somebody's got to get it because there are things and dreams and goals that you'll never accomplish unless you learn how to get a word from God and stand on it. It's how we're able to do impossible things. Let's keep going in this. We have to attack whatever it is we're facing with the word of God, knowing that nothing is impossible. So we got to get his word in our heart. And how do we do that? We've said it so many times. You hear the word. Come on. And you hear the word, speak the word, do it on purpose. All those things get God's word on the inside of you. Because a person that doesn't have God's word in their heart cannot believe for impossible things. They can't do it. They can't do it. And this is what was happening with the disciples. They were running into obstacles. And Jesus told them, oh, you of little faith. The actual translation in the Hebrew language was actually, oh, you of little short bursts of faith. He was basically saying this, your faith is weak. It only lasts for a little while. How many know you got to have faith that can last days, months, years, decades even? Come on, somebody. You got to have faith like your grandma. Remember your grandma who prayed you into the kingdom? Prayed you into the kingdom, picking you up at the courthouse, still believing you're going to get saved one day. And here you are. And here you are. Aren't you glad that she had strong faith? But guess what? You cannot live on grandma's faith anymore. You got to get your own. Amen? You got to get your own. You got to have your own faith. You can't be living on grandma no more. And if you're like me, I ain't got my grandma no more. I got to get my own faith. But did you know, man, they prayed for me and my cousins for years, not just years, but decades, you know, and some of those prayers we're still believing to take hold. But that's what strong faith will do. It's lasting faith. It's not moved by circumstance. And the way you get that is by hearing the word, speaking the word, doing it on purpose. That's why you can't take church lightly. That's what I'm saying. You can go to church the wrong way, just like you can go to the gym the wrong way. I'm going to help somebody today because there's a way to go to the gym. There's a way to go. You get on the machines. Come on. Amen. You don't stand by them and talk to your homie. Amen. You don't go to the gym to get numbers. Got real quiet over here. I don't know what's going on. This side got real quiet. I don't know what's going on there. You know, the gym ain't for looking pretty. See, I'm helping somebody. You didn't know that. You didn't know that, so you go out and buy the outfit. Get your makeup on to go work out. So you're doing it wrong. You're going to look cute, but you're going to stay out of shape. You might get a man, but you're going to stay out of shape. Are you with me today? So there's a right way to do these things. And we've got to approach a church and value what it's there for, the preaching of the word. See what I'm doing every week? I'm strengthening your faith. You may come in here and just be like believing, oh, man, it's been tough. And then you hear the word and you leave here with some pep in your step. That's what the word is supposed to do. But before I let you go, let me break this off to you from Luke chapter 1, 34 through 38. See, we've got to be like Mary. We've got to be like Mary in the word of God. Mary was faced with some impossible situations. She was told by the angel. Well, let's look at the story. Verse 34 through 38. It says this. Then Mary said to the angel, after the angel appeared to her and tells her, hey, you're going to have a child. She says this. How can this be since I do not know a man. At this time, Mary was still a virgin. And some of you need to know, don't call her the Virgin Mary, because she later went on to have other sons. Got real quiet in this Catholic church today. All right. It's trying to help you. It's not doctrinally correct. She's no longer the Virgin Mary because she had a boy named James. And he was not sent from the Holy Spirit. He came from Joseph. Let's keep reading. I'm helping somebody's theology today. Amen. So how can this be? I do not know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was supposed to be barren. For with God, nothing, there it is again, will be impossible. Tell your neighbor right now, nothing will be impossible. So look what it says here. Then Mary says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I want to help you with these things that are going to help you stand and believe the impossible things. And let's learn this lesson from Mary here. Number one, the first thing she did was she heard the word of the Lord. The angel comes to her, and the angel Gabriel comes and he declares, remember, the word of the Lord. You are going to have a child, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be Emmanuel. So he comes. His whole purpose for the angel coming is to release the word of the Lord. Now Mary has a decision to make. She has a decision to make. Will she believe this word, or will she believe the facts? Will she believe what she can see, what she knows? She even says this to them, hey, how could this even be? I've never had sex with a man. And the angel answers and says to her, well, this is how it's going to happen. And he releases another word. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And as he releases these words, Mary has to make a decision. But I love this next part. The angel helps her come into alignment with God's word by rehearsing to her what God has already done. See, all of us, when you hear a word from God, you're going to have to make a decision to believe it or not. But sometimes what helps you believe God now is rehearsing what he's already done. It's amazing to me how people forget what God has brought them out of. We're just like the Israelites. We forget the Red Sea. We forget the plagues. We forget all the things that God did. And the minute we run into an obstacle, there's giants in the land, we're going to die. No. Remember what God has already done. If he did it before, come on, somebody, he'll do it again. Don't make me sing it to you. If he did it before, he'll do it again. And I love what the angel says to her as she's he sees her kind of struggling with doubt. Like, how are we going to do this? How's this going to work? And he's telling her, he's releasing the word of the Lord. And he stops and goes, hey, check out your cousin Elizabeth. Isn't she supposed to be barren? But look at God. See, Elizabeth was past childbearing age. But the angel came to her and told her she's having a child, and his name would be John the Baptist. So I love that the angel does that. He says, wait a minute, I can see you're wavering, but look at what God has already done. And I believe the Spirit of God is telling some of you here, quit wondering how it's going to happen and look at what God has already done. One of the greatest miracles was you getting saved. The fact that you're sitting in a church now, instead of behind bars for some of us, come on, or waking up after a hangover right now, is a miracle. And you're wondering how this next thing is going to happen? See, you forgot what God's already done. You forgot how many times God delivered you. Man, this church has so many miracle babies in it. How many times I've stepped up here on a Sunday and said, so-and-so had a baby and the doctors want to keep him and they're checking him out. We need to pray that that baby goes home, and it's happened. I'm thinking of the Valdezes. I'm thinking of even Jose's baby they just had. And there's so many children that have had things happen when the church has prayed, God got them through. We've dedicated children that are miracle babies in this house. Some of you, man, some of you have been healed from grave diseases. And yet we struggle with how's God going to do the next thing. It's amazing we forget what God's done. I even look at people that were healed of cancer at one time, and they ain't in the church today. See, we forget. And the angel reminded her, and I want to remind you today, rehearse what God has already done when you're starting to struggle and waver in your faith. God, how could this be? And then stop and go, wait, you got me out of that. You got us a house when we couldn't get one. You did this for me. You provided a job for me. Help me and come. You've done this. You've done that. And then stand on the word of the Lord. And the last thing you've got to do to keep that strong faith in what is impossible, you got to come into agreement with the word. And I love what Mary does as you read on in this chapter there. She says, be it as you've said. She said, what you say, I'm in agreement with it. See, people, you got to come into agreement with God's word. And before you could come into agreement with his word, you got to break wrong alignments. And this is why last week I stopped on that point of understanding this. How you live and what you say tells what you believe. Let me say that again. How you live and what you say tells everybody, including yourself, what you believe. See, there's people that will tell you, I believe God can heal the sick, but they never lay hands and pray for any sick people. You know what that tells me? You think you believe, or you believe in your head, but not your heart. You could tell what is in your heart by what you manifest in how you live your life and in how you speak. This is why I can't get over people that use foul language and still, profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. And you say, oh, Pastor, that's old fashioned. It's just words. Think about what you're saying. Just words? God created the world using just words. Hebrews tells us our world is framed by just words. And you can't stop dropping F-bombs and S-bombs and, this and that. You don't get it. You don't believe in your words. Oh, yes, I do. I believe I speak. But how you live tells us what you really believe. Remember that story of the wheat and the tares that Jesus shared. He said at the harvest time, you're going to see there's wheat and tares. The wheat are the real thing. The tares look like wheat, but they have no grain in them. He said at the harvest time, we're going to be able to tell which is which. And the reason that is, and those of you that have gone to the Philippines can attest to this, even with the grains of rice, you go out onto those rice fields and you go on to the harvest time. Something incredible happens at harvest time. In wheat and in things like rice, the crop will begin to bow. It's like you'll see that wheat in a field when it's ready to harvest, and it bends as if it's bowing. And the reason it does that is because the weight of the grain causes it to bow down. But there are other weeds there that look like wheat. But at harvest time, you know what? They don't bow. They stand straight up. And you want to know why? Because there ain't nothing in them. There ain't no fruit. There's no grain. I want to be like that wheat that in the presence of God, I bow. When you look at my life, here it is. You see a life that is bowed before God. You look at my character and it's bowed before God. See, there's a reason I don't steal. There's a reason I don't go to bars. There's a reason I don't use bad language. It is my worship unto the Lord. It is how I bow. It is how I live out what I believe. We live in a generation trying to be so much like the world that it's ridiculous. Because you know why? Because game recognize game. And you ain't got no game. You look like a fool trying to be that when you ain't that. Be what God's called you to be. And let your life reflect what you believe. Because if you believe, nothing's impossible. Are you tracking with me today? So we got so many church folks, man, playing the game. No, get what you believe into how you live your life. You see church folk and you act different. But you got your little friends, you know, and in your mind, oh, that's just, you know, I can keep it real with these folks. See, that's what you believe. Well, you know, I go to church, but, you know, I like to get my swerve on. You know, I still have these honeys I call up from time to time, and I do this. See, that's what you believe. You believe that life is more bountiful than this life. But when you get to a place where you can break old alignments and come into alignment with God's word, you will see the impossible happen for you. You'll see it just like Mary. But Mary had to break that alignment with the old thing, with logic, with what people were going to say. Imagine the pressure that young lady was under. You know, in that time, man, they stoned people for getting pregnant out of wedlock. They killed him for that kind of sin. And now she's going to have to walk around with child. Who you think's going to believe? Oh, yeah. No. I didn't have sex. This is God. God gave me this baby. We would all be like, whatever. Probably called every bad name that you could believe. Everything. Yeah, they called her a loose woman. All that. But you know what? She didn't care. She broke her alignments and she paid the price to follow God. And I got some believers in the house. You won't even take a shot for Christ. You want to be like everybody. And the minute they start associating you with church, you know, you get all uncomfortable. Can't even take one for Christ. Listen, you have got to learn that it's what you believe that opens up the impossible in your life. And we can only tell what you believe by how you live and what you say. That's why we got young people in the youth group. You're in trouble. You look cool, but you ain't cool. You look because you in the church on a Sunday. You think you got relationship with Christ, but you don't have one because you're in here and you're just on Instagram, on Facebook, playing video games. I see you. Come on. You see, that's what we've got to understand. How you live is what you believe. And Jesus said these powerful words that he said this, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you can believe. Oh, Pastor, I believe. We'll see what you believe Monday morning. We'll see what you believe Wednesday at the job, hump day. We'll see what you believe Friday night. At 2 a.m., come on, somebody. We'll see what you believe, because this Sundays don't tell you what you believe. What you believe is lived out 6 days a week. And the reason a preacher like me will get up and share these things, it's not because I'm trying to control folks' lives. Listen, how you want to live your life, that's your problem. How you want to do life, that's your problem. But what I'm trying to get is a people to understand God has paid the price for you to have a better life than you have ever dreamed of if you will just believe. And believing the word will cost you something. You'll have to break old alignments. You may have to be the lonely one at the office. You may have to be home on a Friday night when all the rest of your folks are out getting drunk. You might have to be called the weird one, the lonely one. But if you believe, all things are possible. Stand on your feet. I want to challenge us all this week to take a good look at your life Monday through Sunday Take a good look at your life, because your feelings, your mind, it's going to lie to you. Your mind is going to tell you, I got this, I believe that. But watch your actions this week. Listen to what comes out of your mouth during the week. Oh, Pastor, I just slip up every once and again. That's not what I'm talking about. Listen, I speak like I fear God. I speak like I reverence God. Y'all remember how it was when you were a kid? Some of you got to go way back. I know, but just try it. Track with me. And you'd be with your friends, and you'd be using all types of language. But the moment you stepped in the house with your mom or your dad, that stuff never even came out of your mouth. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, you was cussing like a truck driver 5 minutes before. But you could spend the rest of the day in front of mom and dad, and you didn't dare use that language, or a chancla would have came across your head. There's an honor, there's a respect, and a little bit of fear that keeps you from just living any old kind of way. It's a way we reverence God, but it's also a way you tell yourself where you're at. This last thing I want to help you with. So we like to measure who we are when we're at our best. But that is a false representation of who you are. Who I really am is found when I'm at my worst. That's who I really am. And you got to use those times. Listen now, this is a hard word. You got to use those times where you just call it slipping up to evaluate where you're really at. Because tough times reveal what's really in you. Those tired times, you want to know what somebody's really like? Get around them when they're tired and they're hungry. That's who you really are. So you want to be the Sunday you. God bless you, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Shondo. But who you really are is that person when you're trying to leave the office at 5 and somebody comes in and trying to delay you. They give you some work and that neck just cracks. And you go to, oh no, you didn't. That's who you are. Yeah, Pastor, but that's only once in a while. But that's in you. We've got to get to the place where we allow what we believe to affect how we live and how we talk. Because that is evidence that you believe God's word. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you today. This is not a word that comes across in a condemning way. It is a loving Father in heaven trying to say, sons, daughters, get my word in your heart. Walk it out. Apply it to your life. Let it shine for others to see, and let it be evidence of what you believe. Because you said if we would believe, then all things would be possible. Let my actions, the way I treat my wife, the way I treat my kids, be a reflection of what I believe. Let how I speak at the office, around my friends, around others, be a reflection of what I believe. And this week, Lord, Holy Spirit, be quick to help us see areas where we're in contact of who we really are. And help us, Lord, to not believe the hype. In the words of Flavor Flav, and everybody said, amen. That's how you end church in South Sac. In the words of Flavor Flav.
Hey everybody, Pastor Sergio here, and we just want to thank you for tuning in to our podcast.
Elevate Life Church.